I'd like to read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Verse number 1. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, and verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, or could not for the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree for to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Verse 9, And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Down the chapter to verse number 41. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. When he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Finally, chapter 23, Luke chapter 23, verse number 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Verse 44. It was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. Verse 52, This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. In the last closing moments of this meeting, I would like to just bring before you three of the most important days that a person could ever experience and face and deal with tonight. We have been hearing the story of, and he didn't mention this, but I can certainly say that it was the greatest day of my brother's life. The day that changed everything. I wonder tonight, as you look at your life, what is the greatest day that you have ever experienced? Some of you are only young. Some of you don't have too much in your repertoire yet. Some of you are at the other end of the spectrum. You're looking back, going down memory's lane, And no doubt, as all of us, at least on occasion, there are events, there are moments that we look back to as days that have importance in our experience. What's in a day anyway? We find that in this life of ours, in this uncertain world of ours, a day can bring some very, very far-reaching changes. Some of you that are here tonight that are over 50 will recall that in 1945 there was a day that changed the entire course not only of a war but of an entire era. A single plane took off one morning, one August morning. And though a city had been warned, and though leaflets had been dropped by the thousands, that entire country and that city had failed to respond to the information on that pamphlet, on those pamphlets. And that August morning there was one plane alongside of others that flew out over the city of Hiroshima. And in the early hours of that morning, the bomb bay of that plane opened, and a solitary bomb was released, and the plane banked sharply and headed back. And as those pilots and the men in that plane looked back, they saw a searing flash of light. And within a moment, 100,000 people were burned into eternity. What's in a day? Just a step between a soul and eternity. All kinds of events happen in the course of a day. But what we like to focus for you so simply and very briefly tonight is the fact that our lives are not only consisted of days, but there are events that have tremendous value as far as eternity is concerned. Some of us look back to graduation. Some of us look back to our wedding day. Some of us look back to days when we received the promotion that we wanted so badly. Some of us look back to moments when the mail came and good news came and our lives were changed. But all of that, important though it is, and significant along the pathway of life, in view of eternity, does it have any eternal value? 100 years from now, will it matter, really, what year you graduated from university? 100 years from now, will it matter, really, how much money you stockpiled in your bank account? What's in a day? In view of eternity, what we have read has overwhelming significance. We have read in Luke chapter 19, "This day I must abide at thy house." What's the most important day in a person's experience in view of eternity? A day of salvation. And if Zacchaeus were to come and stand before you tonight, and you were to ask him, "Zacchaeus, what's the greatest day in all of your life?" He'd point back to this day. And he'd love to take you to that tree. And to that moment, when he heard the Savior's voice, "Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Could I ask you, have you ever had a day of salvation? You see, our lives tonight are brief at best. In fact, on every tombstone, there are two dates. A birth date and a death date. And between those two dates, there's usually just a little dash, a little hyphen. And that is our life. Just a dash. Just a stroke. We have a beginning. We are going to have an end to this journey of life in time. And as we look back to all that we have experienced and all that we have been involved with, and as we look ahead, the only reality that matters concerns the salvation of our souls and the forgiveness of our sins. Here's a man, and we're not told how long he longed for something more to satisfy his soul. Here's a man that has filled his life to this date with all that money could buy. Here's a man that had pushed himself ahead in his business environment. But here's a man, and a moment came, a day came, when he sought to see Jesus, who he was, when the greatest issue was the salvation of his soul. I must get to Christ. And what he didn't know was that there was a Savior who was seeking for him as well. He sought to see Jesus, and I trust tonight that there might be somebody here, we believe there are, you have come to this meeting with a longing desire to know your sins forgiven, to have dealings with Christ, to find life in Himself. And friend, what we are thrilled to be able to tell you is that there is one who has come, and He knows where you are, and He knows where you've been, and He knows the longing of your soul, because the Son of Man is come to seek, and He's come to save that which was lost. And as he heard that voice, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. That man simply responded to the invitation of the Savior, and it proved to be a day of salvation. What my brother has just told us is that there was a response to what God says. There was a response to the Spirit's dealings. And that day in Zacchaeus' life, and that day in the lives of so many, is the red letter day concerning time and eternity. Because you see, friend, in that moment, we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Happy day when Jesus washed our sins away. And life begins in the day of salvation. Can you look back to such a moment? Because what we have read in Luke chapter 19 at the end is not a day of salvation, but it's a day of visitation. Only this time the Lord is looking at a city, almost in retrospect now. One of the most moving pictures of the Lord Jesus is Luke chapter 19. He has come to his own. He has drawn alongside of a needy world. He has come with wondrous blessing. And yet there was a nation, and there was a city, and there was a people that would not receive him. And now he stands looking over Jerusalem, and he's weeping. The weeping Savior. And he cries, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem! How often would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, but ye would not." And he closes with the understanding that they had failed to realize that this was their day of visitation. He said, "If thou hadst known, even thou in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace." Could I bring this right to 1999 to Woodland Drive at the end of 5 weeks of meetings? Do I have to tell you that this has been a time of visitation? This has been a time when the blessings of God in salvation have surrounded these meetings. When the Savior has drawn near, and there are those who have heard his call. They have understood that he's inviting them to come. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There has been the mighty power of God seen in souls being saved. In the Lord's day, his mighty power was seen in all of its fullness. Lives were changed. Homes were changed. Storms were calmed. Dead ones were raised. They heard gracious words. They saw the evidence of all that the Savior was able to do. It was a time of visitation. And that nation and you tonight have been given this day. It's a day of opportunity. It's a day of visitation. Can I remind you that days of visitation are fleeting at best? They're passing. Doors open and then close. Meetings start, they end. Life begins, it comes to a terminus. And every single one of us. And friend tonight, if you die in your sins, you look back to times when God drew near. And no doubt you'll remember this series of 1999 in Vancouver. And you understood God was speaking. It was my time of visitation. And I didn't realize it. And I missed it. If you fail to understand that God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now, today, is a day of visitation. A day of salvation. 1916, northern part of Ontario, dry summer, tremendous threat of forest fires. In the month of August, what they had greatly feared broke out. In the early hours of that August morning, the telegraph operator at a place called Cochrane telegraphed the operator further up, and he said, what do you see? And the telegraph operator called back and he said, there's tremendous smoke here. We are in great danger. Later on that morning, that was at 7 a.m., 10 o'clock a.m., a farmer came racing on horseback into Cochrane, shouting at the top of his voice. He said, the whole world is on fire. What he was just saying is that there's a fire coming. Make haste. A few miles to the south in the town of Matheson, right on the Black River, surrounded by beautiful pine forests. Just a small lumber community, number of hundreds of people living there. A freight train happened to pull in. That entire town had heard of the coming forest fire. And they realized that the wind was pushing it their way. And as that freight train pulled into the Matheson station, it had 20 empty boxcars with the doors wide open. And it came to a halt in the Matheson station. The conductor got off, and he turned to that crowd that had gathered there, and he says, listen, folks, I would suggest you get into those boxcars because the forest fire is coming. He says, we had lots of room. We had room for everybody. Just jump aboard. He says, we're not staying long. We're heading south, out of danger. Get in. And despite what that man suggested, and despite his pleadings, the freight train finally blew its whistle and pulled out. And not one had heeded his advice and had gone into the boxcars. They pulled down the tracks with 20 empty boxcars and disappeared from sight. That was at 10 o'clock. 3 o'clock the fire struck. And before over 200 people could get to the safety of that river, the fire had overtaken them. And they perished. Never made it. If thou hadst known, even thou, in this thy day. Do you know the significance and importance of this day? It's the day of visitation. It's a day of opportunity. It's a day when God is telling you the door is open, enter in. He's inviting you. He's no respecter of persons. This is a time of tremendous opportunity and blessing. I wonder, will you miss it? Will you miss a day of visitation and look back from the shores of eternity and weep and wail. Did you understand then? That was my time. We have read of a day of redemption. What we have read in Luke chapter 23 concerns the greatest day in all of history. The day that sin came in was a dark day. The day sin was put away was a dark day and yet a glorious day. And as we follow that scene, the Bible says when they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. A crowd gathered, they watched, they jeered. He saved others, himself he cannot save. And they laughed at him and said, if you're really who you say you are, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. There was a supernatural darkness that crossed that scene. There was an awesome piercing cry from the midst of that darkness. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The darkness dissipated. The Lord said, it's finished. He bowed his head, gave up the ghost. And as a man stands there watching all that happens, he said, truly, this was a righteous man. Certainly, this was the Son of God. The Bible speaks of that day. Do you know tonight that day is still affecting this day? What happened there was the greatest evidence of our hearts' hatred against God. Away with him! Yet that day was the greatest demonstration of God's heart for us. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that day, redemption was accomplished. Sin was dealt with. A mighty bridge was made. A wonderful door of salvation was opened. God's welcome sign was placed outside. Come, for all things are now ready. That day is the very hinge of eternity. There are those in this meeting, and we have found the need of our soul met by what happened that day. That day our sins were paid for. That day the blood of Christ was shed. That day he bore our sin in his own body upon the tree. And we will always, for eternity, look back to that day and that moment as the day that our sins are forgiven. The price was paid. God's justice met. And redemption accomplished. That day. What's the most important day in your life? If you look back, is there a day of salvation? Is there a day when you have come to appreciate the Lord Jesus personally? Or will you, from the shores of eternity and the darkness of hell and the lake of fire, look back to this Friday night when you heard a man tell how he got saved? As you begin to weep and wail and gnash your teeth and you'll say, I miss my day. I didn't realize it was a day of visitation. God help you to be wise in view of eternity, and may this night, this day, be a day of salvation for you, shall we pray. Father, we thank you again for this day of grace. We are able to sound the gospel message forth because of the day of redemption accomplished at the cross. We thank thee for all that the Lord Jesus suffered, not just at our hands, but at thy hands. We thank thee that, Father, when he bore our sins, he was there as our substitute. And we're thankful that Christ died for the ungodly. We thank thee for every individual in this meeting tonight that can look back to a day of salvation when we heard the call of the Savior. And there was that glad response. We received him, and he received us. Oh God, we pray that there might be those tonight that would understand this is a day of visitation and opportunity, and that, Lord, they might not be careless and indifferent and miss their way. We pray that thou'll speak and save further souls, we pray, as we give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hymn number 42, in closing, hymn number 42. Now again, our appreciation for your interest and your attendance tonight. We're certainly thrilled to see the hall so well filled. And our desire is that there might be those who would understand their need and look away to Christ tonight and receive Him. If we can be of any help to anyone, we're only too happy to sit down with an open Bible and seek to explain to you as to what God says that He has accomplished for you in the person of His Son. Now remember the meetings that have been announced, 3:30 here at the Woodland Drive Hall on Sunday for the ministry of the Word of God, and the final meeting of this series, 7:30, here in the hall on Sunday night. Number 42, eternity, time soon will end. Its fleeting moments pass away. O sinner, or how wise to ask, where will I spend eternity's unchanging day?